Father, thank you that those are truths. Those aren't just ideals. Those are really true, that when we draw nigh to you, you draw nigh to us, and we draw nigh to you now. So come, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, risen Savior. Come, Father God, who loves us and forgives us. Come, be present, be prominent, and be dominant in our midst. And then help us, Lord, to have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to obey. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So let me first do, it's on. I'm good, I think. First, I want to find anybody here who was not here last night. Because I need a, yes, no? Okay, one, okay. So I'm going to do a couple quick, yeah. You were at the men's retreat, though, weren't you? I remember. So I did ask last night if any guys who were at the men's retreat really locked in on your spiritual gift at that time and if it's made a difference to you and if you'd be willing to share. So I don't know. It might be dangerous to ask. But anybody in that category? You're really kind of locked in on. Okay, so it's good I'm here again. So refresher course that will give you a quick refresher on some of the key points of life. And this is the notebook that you can take notes in. It's because we want to get rid of them. You'll probably notice that the order of, we're going to redo the notebook, but I thought it would still be helpful. We don't have the new ones even started. You can take notes accordingly as you can find where we are with the slides. The most recent book that I actually came out, there's one that's warfare that's about spiritual warfare in the church. I talked about that last night a bit. This is called Frontiers of Faith. Got three sections based according to the Trinity, the Father and His Word. And each of those three sections has seven short chapters. So for new believers, believers, this would be useful. It's probably about high school level reading. It's not really probably the most groundbreaking book on discipleship. I did my undergraduate work at Nyack College, good solid Bible back, and ended up at NYU. And that's, NYU is not really a real conservative evangelical curriculum design. So they didn't care what I was writing about. It was all about the, and I wrote it about the time that Promise Keepers was being developed, you know, the title, Disciples of Jesus Christ at NYU. And they let me do it. Because it all had to do with the process, not the content. So I wrote the first five chapters, a very basic disciple-making resource about disciple-making. And I'll tell you why. I had to do a review of related literature, recommend and use, but they tend to think of discipleship as mastering the spiritual. Okay, guys, let's memorize from Deuteronomy and Isaiah today, or let's, already well-practiced in all of the disciplines, right? Don't do it like pray until they came to him well into the ministry and said, teach us to pray. It goes through Luke's gospel, which is the most sequential, and it shows own curriculum. It wasn't just haphazard. Let's just talk today about, anybody got an idea? What should we talk about? We see it in the gospel of Luke, learning kingdom values, learning kingdom mission, and learning, that one's there, and there's a companion group guide that can be used in disciple. And what was it? I heard one word that make disciples. Stop short of, okay, just becoming a disciple. You're really not a disciple fully until groups to make disciples. So that's what that's about. But the book that we've been really focusing on, most five in any arrangement of it, in Betsy's, the cashier over there that tell you about the website. If you'd like to get onto the Masterworks mailing list, Betsy. So that's enough of the infomercial. We're just really glad to be here. Get back to this. And the foundation of this teaching is the Word of God. And spiritual gifts, because really of an unfortunate chapter 12, where many Bibles say, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be, the word gifts there. It says, now concerning spiritual matters, or spiritual things, of spiritual pneumatica. There are spiritual gifts. There are spiritual, there are also distributions of serving God. Some of them are listed. By ways that we do today that aren't mentioned in the Bible. And then there are varieties or distributions. Our ministry, motivated by our gift. Okay, let's look at the next slide. Here's another, I talk about the fact that some of the confusion is that Greek words. And so unless you drill, and they're not all the same. And it's a very different word than that other list on the other side. Because a charisma, it's your inner motivation. It's how your comes with your spiritual DNA. It is your spiritual DNA. You have one spiritual gift. And so that's what a charisma. So this is another way of looking at the gift, Corinthians 12:1. Then you have gifts that are given. They are listed, but are one of them. Not you have one, you are one. And we'll look at those again. Some wonderful ministries that are not gifts that we all ought to do. No, it's not a spiritual gift. Some people are more apt to do evangelism in our ways, and it will be different according to our spiritual gift. Hospitality is not a spiritual giving. It is a spiritual gift. Some people are motivated, but it's not just a gift. Fellowship, another whole area. It's not a spiritual gift. Some are more at ease with it than, regardless of what our spiritual gift is. And then there are manifestations. And you know what? I think here, Betsy's got it right. Oh, okay.
Thanks, Esther.
Holy Spirit uses your ministry and your gift in other people's lives. 12 is all about, is the manifestations. You might know that Paul, to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians refers to a previous letter, and then it also, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, so you're very closely connected to that group of people, and in wrong directions. And so that's what 1 Corinthians is all about, is to correct them. Look at that toward the end of the day. Okay, move on, please. So, again, here's the main emphasis. You're saying you have. It's who you are. It's an orientation. It's a motivation. And God gives you that. He does bless you when you know it and you're walking in it. But it's to bless the church. All right, and then this slide shows you the seven, and we can just list them all out there. Prophecy is to proclaim truth. So, you're hardwired. It's your DNA to be a truth proclaimer. Now, all of us can proclaim truth as a ministry. Some people, and we'll talk about what that means. And the same thing, serving. People are wired to meet practice, to build up and encourage the faith of other people. Giving, some people are just wired to coordinate the efforts of others toward achievements of big goals and then stress in other people's lives. So those are the seven, and you are one, and only one. Six and seven in the notebook, this notebook, I believe, and then it's on page, I think, 70. If you're still unconvinced about the one gift idea, I encourage you to review it. But more than anything, has more than one spiritual gift, please come and show it to me. But it's just not there. I mean, I've studied it pretty carefully, you can imagine. So, but feel free, like our soul. Okay, so you have one gift. Let's move on. I think this. Yes. And our next section that we're going to go into is discovering my spirit. First, any questions on any of that from, in fact, I may be confused, I don't know. Hopefully, I just really want to make a check in your heart or something, and you don't bring it out. So feel free. Be answered in this next session on discovering my spiritual gift. Okay, so is it easy to be done? Yes and no. With people, it's easy to discover your gift. But some people aren't at that point where there's particularly unforgiveness. If you are harboring resentment, straightened out, God really doesn't use people. Bitterness leads to anger. And anger, Scripture says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't go to bed, still soul. And you'll wake up angry, and you'll just feed on that. Has ever been hurt and unjustly as much as used for any of us to not forgive anybody for doing anything? Now, some people have done terrible. Gets hurt when we don't forgive them. We do. We help them. On yourself. Meaning, oh, I'm just nobody. I just, you know what? That's not true. Invested his blood in you. You're worth it. So you're a son or daughter of God. And the Holy Spirit has come in your life and given. And so you have a spiritual gift. An inadequate response to God. Some people have the good Lord, like an estranged uncle or of God. Clearly people who aren't in the Word of God. If you're in the Word of God, you're going to... God is, how majestic he is. But you have to be in the Word of God to get hearts and so on. But you have a question.
Yes, I do, Pastor.
Good.
The gifts.
Yep.
And in that chapter that you were talking about in Romans 12, it says to exercise it accordingly. So, okay.
But what is lacking there is a verb, you know, and to not that isn't really completed, you know, that and I'm sure I'm doing this, teacher. You once, because you, okay, well, he's just filled with anecdotes. I think it's chapter 3, where Paul starts out, and by the way, in case you've heard, not heard and understood the grace that's been given to me and the stewardship, for this reason I bow my knees before the God, and he gets right back to where he was. So that happens.
Hinder you expressing the gift is not exercising in faith.
Yeah, that's a good, my spiritual gift, you know, is whatever, serving. But it's not really a spiritual service. That's a good point you're making. Wow, I got to add that to my. That it really is an important idea, and that is there in the text. Hindrance, a couple others, lack of involvement with the needs of others, and you're not involved with people, then you have no outlet for your spiritual gift. A few stories about one event that involved several people. So probably with a bunch of young guys, and I myself was one of them, actually, at that time, to New York, upstate a little bit, excited about what we were learning and so on. And one gift was, and whereas others were a little confused between this and that, this guy just had no him was. We were all shocked that he came with us because he was at all. So how could you possibly know your gift? Gifts and the various ministries in which they're exercised. This is a common one. And I've heard it even, abilities, activities, achievements, talents. These are how I'm wired, and I am only then with ministries. And it's so easy to do. So you really need to grab wired. Okay. So that's another possible hindrance. And then failure for gift. The Greek was charisma. So again, and a lot of times people will really enjoy. Okay, I'm giving you a little insight now. Maybe you've already figured out what my gift is. Kid, I always got pushed into different places of leadership. And so everybody's thinking, oh, you're good at that. I mean, some people might take a lot of satisfaction. It isn't administration managing, it's teaching. And that's where I get my joy. I have more, this is giving me great joy to be with you and to share this information. So let's move on, please. So other hindrances, and there are, this is sort of like I could cite dozens of examples of this, but let me give you one. The guys I was with at one time. So one of them was a fairly new Christian gift was. His was a pretty evident one to us. And I think maybe to him, but he did not know much that he absolutely wanted to be that guy, to have that gift, but he kept trying to imitate, trying to be that guy, and everything just fell flat. And so attempts to imitate somebody else that you admire, it doesn't work. To that story. So that young man, his gift was prophecy. We all knew it. Clear. He was a prophet. But he didn't like the implications of with my hands and so on. And he did, but that's not how he was wired. Those were ministries that he did. Quite a while, he was confused about it. Another example. And again, pastors and his gift also was prophecy, but that church, and I was the pastor of that church before we brought him on. He was a young man, he had 4 young children, but when he preached, declarative, very, and so we all knew he was a prophet. I'm an administrator, I'm a manager, I'm a leader. And we're all like, sure. I have to try to, I mean, he's not proving anything to anybody anymore. When you say that the right way, anyhow, I hope somebody wrote it down because I don't think I could repeat it. Are that person and you're not. Okay, so, and then not understanding the characteristics of the saint, then there'll be some differentiation. So let me ask the question before we go. We're going to do some characteristics of the church is fellowship. Koinonia. Have you ever talked about sharing? So you have to share yourself. And so we're going to do some diagnostics. At least we'll know. And this is an important idea. And by the way, if you get a gift at Christmas time, you don't go around bragging about how much you deserve that gift. Who's giving you this spiritual gift? Is God. So when you say, God, okay, so don't feel like, oh, I don't want to say it because people think I'm bragging. No. So here are some practical steps to discovering your gift. Speak to you. Examine yourself realistically. as the gifts, the spiritual, right now, remembering the seven from Romans 12 that we've gone over a few times, sure, 75% sure, let's say, that I know which one it is. You say you've narrowed it down to two. You're debating between a couple. It's okay if you are there. But so most of you, many of you have down to a choice between two gifts when we go through it. And then why you were doing what you were doing and what effect. So why was I doing that? Right down to the core reason of why. Yeah. So if you had the ability to assist others in exercising one of that. So I'm a teacher. I love to see other people empowered to teach. Teachers. I'll talk more about that a little bit later. Understand you're free to do whatever you wanted in serving the Lord with no social. If you were completely free and the stakes were the same no matter what, it doesn't have to do with finance. Then in the light of two undecided gifts, ask yourself again, why joy? And then commit yourself to action. If you're still undecided, choose the one that you think is one of the guys that I worked with. When I'm giving or serving, but I think it's giving. So I said, okay, go ahead. Let's work with Lord, and he took it. There wasn't a lot of joy there. Characteristics of the prophet. Ready? Because some they're probably a drive to express his message verbally. Prophets prophesy. Now, prophecy, again, isn't predicting the future. It's proclaiming truth. Proclaiming truth. They're motivated. They're driven. Desire to, they have an ability. It's not that they're perfect that way, and there's a danger associated with that and the misunderstandings. So they have a desire to discern the, sort of antenna, like I said. They're quick to identify, define, and hate evil. This is sin, and then they do, like others. But they've got a, they're very justice-oriented. So when they see injustice and unrighteousness, willingness to suffer brokenness to prompt brokenness. By the way, there are two kinds of prophets because everything matches up except I'm a lot more maybe sensitive. So you start quivering and shaking. Thus says the Lord, and really Jeremiah, who just agonized over declaring the word because. So there are thundering prophets and weeping prophets. So you miss in order to prompt brokenness in others as well. They have a dependence on script. They're people of the Word of God. They study the Word. They maybe more than others are response to demonstrate inward conviction. I think of the scribes who came out to him and he called them a brood of vipers and don't say to yourselves we have already laid at the root of the tree and thundering out like that. And then there was things they could do, demonstrate outward response to the inward conviction. Next slide, please. They have a directness, frankness, and persuasiveness in speaking. But even if it can be difficult for people to hear, their patient program of God. These are sort of guardians of the truth. They care about individuals, but they're quick because the church, the bride of Christ, is where their focus is. They have an eagerness for kind of take extra joy in helping people discover them. And they have they're not happy about having to reveal unrighteousness. But and here's a real telltale sign of a prophet. They see good or bad, evil or righteous. That's how they view that's how they're wired. So it's a very important gift. Not lone rangers, that they're not. They're not authorities unto themselves, but church. Okay. So, in each case, we're going to look at misuse of you because you're a gift. But just because you have a spiritual gift doesn't mean you're mature. The misuses. Oops, yep, that's me. So, correcting people who are not their responsibility. Next one, please. Jumping to conclusions about words and actions and motives. Remember we talked about they just jump to conclusions. They start judging people. In the wrong way. Reinforcing a condemning spirit. If they're, people. And so that's why you don't want to have too many prophets in the church because if they are walking with God, they are amazing worshipers and ministry to the Holy Spirit. Judging and exposing rather than restoring an offender. And a mature prophet, their desire is to restore, not to condemn and get people, a person who has failed, Again, an immature prophet says, okay, that person anymore. That's not a godly way to respond. So it's immature. And a couple other misuses of the gift of prophecy. Dwelling on the negative rather than positive, you know, and be negative. Almost all of them end up with some kind of glimpse of the future. Being positive. So again, prophets should not just dwell on the negative. Lacking caution and tact in expressing opinion here, but we're talking about effective communication. Again, they see things in black. Really want to help somebody. Good communication, first of all, understands the other person's where the cultural competency. Prophets don't naturally have a lot of that. Acquire it more because, you know, the old song, a teaspoon of sugar makes the medicine. Demanding a positive response to a harsh rebuke. Can to just jump up and down with joy and say, oh, thank you so much for, you know, making me, you know, it's just not going to happen. But they may, you know, we have his little children. He had three little boys. And, you know, when he would discipline them, and not a good parental technique, nor a good prophet technique. They do fail. And sometimes they don't get back on their feet spiritually. High standard, I've been preaching that high standard. I was living it for a long time, and then I failed, so God's done with me. That is not true. That is not true. Think of Elijah. He runs, and he sits under, he's feeling sorry for himself, and prophet who fails. And then accusing others of deception if they're not, can't instantly handle the full truth. And so, in fact, people rarely, when they go to a counselor for the first time, rarely tell them what the real problem is this person before they're going to really reveal what the real issue is. But a prophet who aren't right out front, you know, about their sinful condition. So those are some misuses. Okay? So there may be one or more of you here. God bless you. You have a powerful ministry to do. Always we find that. Because they are the fuel that keeps the church going. I mean, they absolutely love to serve, and they get joy from doing it. They have a desire to sense sincere appreciation. Appreciation, an important ingredient. Because they do so much, looking to, you know, be praised and so on, but they do want some appreciation, what other people think should be done, and do it better, do it more. And I could never understand some of the things she did and why. So I remember when I probably was a teenager, because I was probably, my favorite food was and is, which I'm not supposed to eat much of anymore, mashed potatoes. Give thanks, you know, to pray before the meal. And my prayer was, dear Lord, please pass the mashed potato. Put this green weed on it. Like, why do you put this green weed on the potato? You know, a little extra touch, you know, of, you know, making it, I don't know, okay. but she was a server. And she could remember astonishingly. I mean, I always say, and it's true, of all the things I've lost, what did I just say? they have an involvement in a lot of screens open at the same time, a bandwidth that's incredible. Even if they haven't done it before, they assume that they can do it better and probably better than you. And so, object-oriented. They have a great enjoyment of short-range goals and a frustration over long-range goals. The little menu thing I gave out yesterday, the Bible reading menu, I'm to-do list, okay? They make to-do lists, and then they tick them off. And that's great. Why? Because long-range projects, it takes a long time. People are going to interrupt. So before long, the long-range project is interrupted by 8 short-range projects. So because of what I just said, they are going to keep a lot of things going in lines. They have an ability to recall the specific likes and dislikes of people. They're not overly people, and they're people, but they're project people as well. And if there are any servers here, you probably saw some things. I don't, because I'm not that you detect these things. And then probably try to fix it with manual projects, you know, whether it's, you know, crocheting. Often they're really good computer people as well. They real patient to meet needs as quickly as possible. They have physical stamina. They regard their own weariness and often the weariness of other people. Use personal funds to avoid delays. So a little story about that one. Board members who, you know, have, you know, high-powered jobs, you know, secular jobs, who these finances, come into the church board meeting and don't bring their gift into the church. They, you know, like they say, they hang their brain. Where at the board meeting, they're the printer in the office, the printer. So the conversation went about what kind of printer, how much does pay buy this printer. Well, how much does a printer cost? Maybe $100 now? So all of a sudden, this one guy item in the agenda. Wait a minute. We haven't decided on this one. Yes, we have. I just went online and bought it. Their own funds to avoid the delays. Okay? Keep going. But there are misuses of this wonderful gift as well. And here are some. Neglecting home responsibilities to help others. You know, the cobbler's kids, possibly because they get more appreciation from other people than they might, I don't know. But, we've got some a particular member of one of our prepared, and the yard was a mess and so on. But really help out in their situation. So that's a misuse. Accepting too many jobs at one time, wear yourself out, and they don't have inexhaustible energy, or you're going to disappoint other people in a haphazard way. He was an elder, he was a man of God, but he's also involved with the mention that there was a leak in a pipe in the men's room. And so he was coming home from work. All men have two major allies when it comes to home repairs. So this guy gets his duct tape out around the problem. Well, that was like another place, not just the men's room, out in the hallway, leaking under the carpet in the sanctuary, water problem. And so he was so penitent. Oh, my goodness. Nobody. But the problem was, you know, he tried a short-term forgiveness of serving, is trying to meet a practical need in the wrong way. Wearing themselves out physically, being too persistent in giving unrequested help to others. See it, but that's okay. They're still going to fix it. You know, and it might not be their responsibility. Excluding others from helping on the job. So, to work alone generally. They're not really good at delegating. Neither because servers, they can work with other people. It's not that they're unsociable, that they can handle themselves. So they might exclude other people from jobs. Couple other misuses, going around proper authorities to get a printer, you know, without the authorization of the rest of the board. But sees what needs to be done, feels that he or she can do it, and they think counsel the proper authorities. Interfering with God's discipline by premature help. Well, sometimes God allows problems may want to fix things that God has put into person. Becoming hurt by the ungratefulness of those who are being years ago, where there was a wonderful woman who was a server. I don't even know if she knew her gift, the children, and so on. And in the planning, somebody put up an idea, something going on in one of those spheres where she was serving. So she just stood up, threw her books down, stormed out, and said, "Well, if that's what you really think about it," Mercy went out and corralled her back in and said to her, "This is a servant." But she felt hurt because she thought somebody was criticizing her of that idea. And then getting sidetracked while working on an assignment. Again, and so this can be a misuse as well of the gift of serving. Is there another one? Okay, so we're going to move on to teaching. So I'm going to do the teaching one. Probably try to take a little break after that for just a few minutes. Not a lunch break, but... So the basic idea of teacher is one who clarifies truth, right? The belief that this gift is foundational to all the other gifts. In a way, teachers do have a responsibility. We said before that different way, but they believe that solid teaching of the Word of God is foundational. Accuracy of words. There aren't a lot of teachers, by the way, when we do these diagnostics, happens occasionally. But accuracy of words, wanting to know in depth. Well, what does that mean? What does that say in the... It's the knowledge of those who teach them. They're the ones, I can usually spot them in a group when we start. Like the Bereans, you know the story of the Bereans after Paul got chased out of, in fact, stoned. People who listened to Paul and examined daily what to do. And so teachers are very prone in church to validate truth. Teachers would, you know, I enjoy preparing. You know, I get bored teaching what I already know, you know, and I like to discover new stuff. Matt Bounce menu, and I saw something this morning that just blessed me that I hadn't seen before in English. It really blessed me. So we like to validate new information by previous systems of information. So embraces. In fact, that's why Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill meaning that was intended by God in inspiring Moses and so on. Not so much because they have a bias against it. It's just that they don't think that way. You know, come from the Old Testament and vice versa often. They're just not as in touch with or, you know, Uzbekistan. You know, they're not as the next gift that we'll look at. They resist scriptural illustrations out of context, right? Hermeneutics is, if you go to Bible college and take a course in hermeneutics, it's from the Greek word ermeneuo, which means to lead out the meaning, to bring out the meaning. It's exegeting truth and in presenting it. They present truth in a systematic sequence. And they have a concern for the proper use of scriptural contextually, talking to preaching about Amos without you understanding what's happening in the 8th century B.C. Tell me about the Assyrians. Telling me, they want you to know these things. That's why it comes alive. So they tell us, here's what happened. All these aren't names in the Bible that you read and just pass over and don't even look at a map. Not just teachers enjoy that, other people do as well. Continuing. The misuses of this gift, and there are some strong ones here. Becoming proud of their knowledge. Love edifies. So people who are privileged to have a lot of educational experience, they can become proud of it. Despising practical wisdom of less educated gift from God. If anyone lacks wisdom, receives it from God. So sometimes we'd call it here in Brooklyn, right? Street smarts. So that can be a weakness. Off the bat with a bias against whatever somebody else is teaching. Okay, that's an image. Criticizing sound teaching because of technical flaws. I've done that. It can be a PowerPoint flaw or something like that. And so then you write the whole thing off. Well, that guy's a bum. Other misuses. Depending on human resourcing, that your experience with this is probably similar to mine. I had a real hard time for quite a while. Right away, can get into the devotional side and let God minister to their heart. How can I use this in somebody else's life? There's a danger there. In fact, only study the Bible to prepare for preaching, not to, you know. So, you know, and then you're depending on truth home to you, about you. You know, it's funny thing. A lot of people say, oh, I just want to hear from God. I just want, and occasionally God has. I've stopped asking him because use some word of discipline, some word of, but he'll still do it in his love. But really, when you ask, or unbelief, or lack of love, or to take it. Don't think he's going to give you a word for President Trump about you. So be careful what you ask for. You might get it. People don't need to know about Beth Shean and Hazor. You know, maybe in a teaching they do, but Beth Shean and so on. So, but sometimes teachers just get off on it. Other misuses. Boring listeners. Oh, this is similar. Boring listeners with details of research. Retreating into their own world of books. Teachers love books that people can just get their books and, you know. No, they love real physical, tangible, that kind of thing. Books, but they can retreat into the world of books and not be involved. Okay, so those are, we'll stop here for the moment. Any?
I guess for the teacher, what are some ways, I guess, outside of, like, actually, like, teaching?
Okay. Good question. Ways of using that gift.
Yeah.
You will normally, as a teacher, be involved with groups of people, one, two, conversation. I find myself in conversations trying to, you know, if I find somebody who has maybe what I would consider to be an inadequate understanding of something, and I have studied that or know about it, in a hopefully gentle way, kind of give some light. Just in conversations. Again, it's who you are. It's how you're wired. But it doesn't have to be simply with believers either. It is primarily to bless the church. But, there's an interesting thing. One of the things I read this morning that I just found a blessing is after Jesus gave the parables in Matthew 13, seven parables of the kingdom, he had to explain a couple of them to the disciples because they didn't get it. And then he says at the end of all seven, he says, so have you understood all of these things? And they said, oh, yeah, we got it. And so rather than him saying, no, I don't think you did, he said, okay, well, therefore, and this get this verse. Every scribe, who are the scribes? They're the scribes and the, in the Bible? Scribes and the Pharisees, right? So we think of them as, you know, they were the lawyers, they were the, you know. But he says, every scribe who becomes a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like an owner of a household who brings you. So how many of you are first-generation Christians? First in your family. Have a storehouse of growing up. Maybe you do. But most of us, like I'm second or third generation. Boys Brigade and Scott. So I draw upon 70 years. So as a teacher, God will bring back to your mind theoretical things that other people don't. They're not practical. They can't remember what they did with their watch. Or God will use you in conversation to bring out. I used to kind of bemoan the fact that I didn't have a really exciting testimony like some of my first generation and motorcycle ganging and so on. But then God showed me a legacy of spiritual mentoring from many wonderful people, your parents. Maybe my, you know, the worst thing I ever did before I got saved was light my, you know. So that's my testimony. So, but, evangelizing, I think. Yes, Joe.
In teaching,
I think so. That's a great point. So if you don't know it, Jesus' parables, it's, everything goes to the, why? Because now, political. I mean, I can't stand Donald Trump in terms of some of his character. Is he a good leader? Because I belong to a kingdom that has nothing to do with this world. And when I want to talk, I'm going to be talking and Trenton or Albany. I mean, that's not to say I shouldn't. My nation, my kingdom, my tribe is the kingdom of God. That's where Jesus was. So it was the righteousness of God, the justification issue. That good questions, both of them. Let's try to do 5, 10 max, okay? We've got a lot of... No coffee.